Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and I am joined by two great men and two even better friends, Colton and David. How's it going, guys?
Oh, it's going
above average.
It's going above average. That's good. That's good.
Going somewhere. I don't know where, but it's going.
Well, guys, I'm back from the woods. I listened to the
podcast. It was the bottom of the ravine, Thomas.
Yep. So what really happened, listeners, is when I looked the other way, Colton hit me with a log. And left me out there. So that's why I didn't make the podcast. My apologies, but I'm here this week.
You better apologize.
Yes, I am.
What does I'm sorry mean, Thomas?
I'm literally apologizing right now.
No, what does I'm sorry mean, Thomas?
It means
you feel bad and you will never do it again.
All right.
So I want you to say it right now. You feel bad and you'll never do it
again. I feel bad and it may happen again. I don't know, but I can't.
Oh, my God. Then you're not sorry. Don't even pretend.
All right. Well, guys, we have a lot to talk about this week with free agency. Obviously, a lot of moves, a lot of acquisitions, a lot of signings. So why don't we just start it off with a bang? David and Colton, who are your winners and losers so far at free agency? Explain a little bit and tell us why.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, fine. You go first.
I mean, you guys both can at the same time.
All right, we'll just talk at the same time in unison.
Okay.
No, you can go ahead and go first.
You know, we can get into winners and losers later, but I just want to say I think this has kind of been, you know, one of the more crazy free agencies that I've remembered. I mean, you got the Patriots going out and spending like they actually have money to spend for the first time in forever, and they don't care about you know, next year's 5 third round compensatory selections that they're going to get from letting people leave, you know. You know, you've got a lot of people moving around. Obviously, you know, it's free agency, a lot of excitement, a lot of big contracts, a lot of names on the move. And I think it's just been fun all around for football fans so far. I think they're the real winners because we're just one step closer to getting back to football. Yeah.
That's a very good thing.
I don't know how I feel about that. We started off our segment about winners and losers with, we'll get to that later. But, okay, no. Yeah, definitely it's been a super fun free agency, super exciting day and a half. We're recording, or I guess 2 days. Just, I don't know what the time is. But it's 8 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday as we record right now. So by the time this actually gets released, Wednesday morning, I'm sure there's going to be some more stuff. But it's been pretty exciting. I agree. But I'm like, you know, I'm a man of integrity. And so I actually to hold to the integrity of the podcast. And I'm going to give a real team winner here instead of pander bearing to the fans.
Oh, okay.
No. I got the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm. Oh.
I'm looking at the list right here. I think they are really doing a good job in one day of setting themselves up for Trevor Lawrence and this team to completely change. They got Philip Dorsett. He's gonna just run fast down the field. I'm sure he'll make a couple plays this year with Trevor Lawrence. But Marvin Jones, I think, was a great signing.
Cam
Robinson, keeping him in there. Dwayne Smoot was really good. I know that some of these were re-signings, but I think it was a really good bargain compared to what we've seen with a couple of the other guys. Tyson Alualu, possibly is how you would say that name. They brought him back. Sidney Jones, they brought back. Shaq Griffin.
Yep, Shaquille.
Thomas, He's here, and he is
ready to be above average cornerback.
Ready to be one of the best corners in the NFL, I guess. So I really like what they did. I think they're kind of setting themselves up solidly for Trevor Lawrence coming to town, and I think they've had a really good day and a half here. So,
yeah, I think that they definitely, you know, besides the Patriots, the Jaguars have been a busy team, getting you know those players signed. But Colton, I'm going to ask you again: who's the winner and loser?
We're looking for a team.
Not this general.
Okay, I'll start. I'm just so excited about football. I love it. Love everything about it. And free agency is a fun time of year, unless one of your star players is like disgruntled and wants a new contract or something. Then it's sometimes not as fun. But
yeah, for the second year in a row.
Yeah, crazy times, right? So I'm gonna start out with losers here, and I'm gonna go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, they have quite a few free agents this year, and as far as I know, they haven't re-signed any of them. Everyone seems to be jumping ship over in Pittsburgh. I mean, you got Bud Dupree who's left. I'm trying to think the name off the top of my head right now. Their corner that just signed with
Mike.
Yep, Mike Hilton.
Mike Hilton. Yes, I got half of it. You brought it home.
There we go. Teamwork makes the dream work. You know, several other players. I mean, you literally had some, I think it was maybe TJ Watt was tweeting crying faces earlier today because of how many Pittsburgh Steelers were just, you know, good friends, obviously, teammates for the past few years, but they're just going. And to my knowledge, Pittsburgh hasn't really re-signed anyone right now. So they're going to be just a losers right now for me. And big winner for me is going to be, I think right now, a solid team kind of flying under the radar is Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, they literally just won the Super Bowl, and they've re-signed Chris Godwin, restructured Tom Brady, brought back Gronk, kept Shaquille Barrett. You know, everyone and their dog wants to go to Tampa, you know, and play and win the Super Bowl there. I heard an interview of Pat McAfee did on Adrian Peterson, and he asked him, you know, hey, like, are you wanting to go play somewhere? Are you wanting to win? What are you going to do? And he's like, oh, if I could go to Tampa, you know, and play with Tom Brady, that would be amazing, you know. And so I think there's a lot of, you know, ring chasers that might be headed to Buccaneers way soon. And I'm excited for what they, you know, I guess not excited because, you know, they're in the NFC, but I've been impressed with how they've retained everybody so far this year.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. That was actually my winner was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, they go out and re-sign Lavonte David on a 2-year deal. And then Barrett, and then Gronkowski. And then I've also, you know, it seems like Tampa Bay all of a sudden is like the top destination, like you were saying, Colton, for a lot of these free agents. And so definitely think Tampa Bay is moving up. David, did you have a loser lined up for us? You had a winner, Jacksonville. Oh,
I've got multiple winners.
Let's hear it, man. Let the listeners hear.
Corey,
I didn't know that we were going 2-for-1. I didn't know that was an option, or else I would have done it. I had three winners. I had the Jacksonville Jaguars. I had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's been very impressive. And my third winner here is a little bit on the opposite end of the spectrum of what we've done. They haven't been as flashy. They haven't signed a ton of guys, but I think they've just made some really small moves so far that's kind of put them on the right track, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay, respectable.
Bringing in Corey Linsley, and then they brought in what's that? The guard from Pitt. They brought in another guard also. Oh man, I can't remember who it is. This is great podcast moment. It's my winner that I had planned.
Get that researcher busy.
Yeah, well, the researcher's definitely busy. But But they signed another guard, I'm pretty sure. And just overall, you got a young quarterback. You pair him. And this is a little bit of compiling two different years, but you got a young quarterback.
Matt Feeler.
Thank you, Matt Feeler. So you add in your right tackle last year. You and then you go out and you add one of the better centers in the game, veteran guys. And I think this is the right way to start off a young quarterback's career. You know, we've seen it over recent years. We've seen it with Luck. We've seen it with Wilson coming up. We've seen it with Watson. These young quarterbacks that have no offensive line and they never get an offensive line and they're beat up. They develop bad tendencies. You could make an argument for a guy that didn't work out is potentially Sam Darnold, that maybe his entire career is going to be ruined because of bad tendencies he developed playing behind a bad offensive line. You know, Joe Burrow, unfortunately, might be the next guy to follow those footsteps of playing behind a bad offensive line. And I think you're going about building your team the right way when you're protecting that guy. You're taking care of the guy that you got in the building. And so I like what they've done so far.
Can you really be a winner, though, if you just release Casey Hayward? I mean,
when half the teams in the NFL has released someone big.
Okay. Fair point.
In a normal year, absolutely not, probably. But in this year, when I'm assuming they tried to trade him, but when you only have an option to trade him to half the teams in the NFL, and I'm sure the third of the NFL that actually had cap space a week ago, I'm sure that most of those guys were getting phone calls about 99% of the players in the NFL, and so they had their options and they couldn't get it done. You got to do what you got to do.
Hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Do you guys have any?
I do have a loser. I forgot that we mentioned that. Like, again, continuing with the great podcast, after I mentioned that I'm going to bring up a loser. This one might be a little bit controversial.
Oh, no. I know where you're going.
Because this team's gotten some praise. And I don't want to go full on hating this team. But the New England Patriots. Let me ask you something. Were you guys impressed by Cam Newton last year?
I was. I don't know about you guys.
Oh, you're. Okay. Well, then maybe I'm wrong here. But would you be interested in re-signing him, but now paying him more money than what you did last
year? Everybody knows that he didn't have any weapons last year. He was just trying to do it all by himself. And they went out and definitely got him some weapons so far, and I don't think they're done.
Nelson Aguilar? Kendrick Bourne?
Hunter Henry? John Smith?
And they've Leonard got some guys. I'm not going to go completely at them. I don't think that they've gotten the best values. I don't think, Colton, I don't think you would have made that same argument about Cam Newton a month ago. Like, I get that he doesn't have weapons, but he did not look good. It did not look like a guy that was playing without weapons. It looked like a guy that was mostly done playing football. Nelson Aguilar is making more money per year than Aaron Jones. He's making more money per year than Aaron Jones right now. So I just don't – Kendrick Bourne, 3 years, $22 million. I like Kendrick Bourne. I don't know that he's done that anything to justify that contract. Hunter Henry, you're now paying – between Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, you're paying two different tight ends, premium tight end market or premium tight end price, and neither of the two tight ends – I know Hunter Henry had his promise as a younger player, but neither of those two tight ends have looked like elite tight ends in past years, even with good and great quarterbacks. Like, even playing with Phillip Rivers, Ryan Tannehill, and Justin Herbert, these guys haven't been superstars. Trent Brown, great move. Trent Brown's an absolutely great move.
Matt.
Judon, again, another guy paying a premium price. Again, I'm not going to go too deep on this Patriots. I'm not going to stake my claim too much because I believe in Bill Belichick, and we've seen Bill Belichick sign nobodies and turn them into everything. And so I'm not going to say that can't happen now, but I think that right now they have a lot. They've spent a lot of money on players that just haven't earned it, which is very much not what Bill Belichick usually does.
Yeah, I would. I think that's a pretty accurate observation, just because I've never seen this. I've never seen, you know, Bill Belichick go out and be this busy, or really the Patriots organization as a whole be this busy in the in the free agency. They did upgrade for sure. But I do agree with you, David, that the tight end, what they're paying those two tight ends is kind of outrageous, especially Jonnu Smith. Hunter Henry, I think there's some promise there that could benefit the Patriots long term. But and Trent Brown, like you said, great move, Matt Judon. But yeah, I think that's just for the sake of being out of the ordinary. I think that's a fair observation. I think it's going to turn out pretty well for him, but it's because I'm a BB fan, as you guys know. So, Colton, what's your thoughts on the Patriots?
I'm excited. I mean, I think they obviously as they had that they could go out and spend and be competitors in the division again. You know, they did have a lot of money to spend, and boy, you know, they are spending it. I don't think that they're, you know, they paid Cam Newton a lot of money, but it was kind of as an insurance policy. I would be shocked if the Patriots didn't draft a quarterback high in the draft. And I'm not talking like first round, but you know, within the first couple of rounds, the Patriots are definitely going to be, I think, bringing someone in, you know, their competition wise and just scheme fit wise and everything. And we've seen how dangerous the Patriots can be before when they've had two tight ends, you know, that when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, those were Brady's, you know, go-to targets. So I definitely think it can work out between
Jonnu Smith. Which one of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are Gronk and Aaron Hernandez?
You don't know. We're going to find out which one is going to be which. I don't think – I'm not saying they're going to be Gronk or Aaron Hernandez. I'm just saying they've worked it into their system before. And, you know, Jonnu Smith's going to be Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry's going to be Hunter Henry. And I think they're going to catch a lot of passes, score a lot of points. You know, they're definitely – I definitely think – I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that this next year the Patriots will have more passing touchdowns than they did last year. I think that's fair to say.
I think that's pretty fair to say.
You're going out on a limb.
Well, they have 11. I can't even remember, but I definitely think I don't think they dethrone the Bills or anything in that division, but I think they definitely, you know, are a lot more competitive team this next year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not saying that these are out of the park terrible moves. Like, to say they're a loser is probably a bit of a stretch, because when you've made so much moves, they've definitely got better as a team. But I think they've spent a lot of money that, in my opinion, I think at the end of the day, a lot of these guys just aren't going to make – they're not going to be the guys that push them over the edge. They might make them better today. And I think it's pretty obvious that they're going after right now. Bill Belichick doesn't want to rebuild. He doesn't want to take any time. They're doing everything they can to rebuild right now. But, like, I mean, and I'm not saying I necessarily agree with this, but just to play devil's advocate, they had a first-round receiver at wide receiver. They had Julian Edelman, who a year ago, Patriots fans were yelling at me, telling me that he's a Hall of Famer. You know, they had a third-round pick. I think it was two third-round picks at tight end, and Devin Asiasi and whatever the other guy's name is that no one cares about. That's harsh. But the other third-round pick that probably didn't work out. And James White. Okay, that's a little harsh to say no one cares about. We care about you. You're an NFL player
that we don't know your name.
But it looks like you're not being very good. So, like, but like to say that they have no talent in the receiving game when a year ago this was all doing it, like, maybe Cam Newton's the reason they all look so bad. And I'm not saying that's the way. I think it's probably a balance of the two of them. But Jacoby Myers is another guy that's had some moments looking like something. And now all of a sudden, I mean, it really wasn't even 2 years ago when Patriots fans were going out and talking about how with N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman and Antonio Brown, which I get Antonio Brown was in that they had the best receiving tandem in the NFL. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to just say, oh, Cam Newton's good. It's just that he had no receivers. Like, you can't just make the argument anyway, which Colton is not doing. But some Patriots fans are doing, do just switch depending on whatever they feel like that day. And so, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's definitely going
to
be interesting.
Yeah, I think interesting is going to – it's a good way to end it on the Patriots because I don't know how it's going to end. It could go really good. Could go bad. I don't know. But, guys, as we move on away from the what we believe to be the winners and losers of free agency, there's still quite a bit of moves. A lot of teams going under the radar, signing players that aren't getting attention that they deserve. So this segment is simply called Other Big Moves. So, boys, is there any other moves that have been occurring in the NFL that you guys want to talk about? Any signings?
I think one that happened today, not all that long ago, is actually a pretty big deal. The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, signing with the Bears. 1 year, $10 million deal. You know, you look back and, like, yes, Andy Dalton's been considered an average quarterback for, you know, most of his career. But, you know, he's made the Pro Bowl, and he can definitely sling the ball around like nobody's business. When was the last time, you know, the Bears have had a quarterback like that? Jay Cutler, you know, Kyle Orton. I would definitely wouldn't say Kyle Orton, but, you know. But, you know, Andy Dalton is still got some juice left in him. And, you know, he's definitely Allen Robinson's there. You know, everyone is going to be able to add a wide receiver in this year's draft class with how deep it is. You know, they've got David Montgomery there. Tariq Cohen is going to be back. They've got a receiving back out of the backfield, you know. The Bears have struck out, you know, obviously trying to trade for Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and everybody, any other quarterback, but they'll at least be able to, you know, have a proven signal caller in the NFL that, you know, under center. And I think that's a big move for the Bears.
David, do you have any other big moves that have happened?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the one that probably comes to mind is Carl Lawson to the Jets, to be honest. I just think I look at and I heard this comparison today, and I kind of like it. I think Carl Lawson is a guy that it just kind of reminds me of a similar deal of when the Packers signed Za'Darius Smith. It was a guy that had made a big impact, but he hadn't necessarily broke out. He hadn't had the big sack year or anything yet, but he's a constant contributor, and now he's going as a somewhat young player going on the second team, and he's a guy that I kind of wonder if he's going to break out. So kind of the under the radar one is him, and then the other big one for me is John Johnson to the Browns. I thought that was just a great value. $33 million. I thought that was one of the better values, but I think that's mostly it for me, I think.
What are your guys' thoughts about, you know, these Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzmagic, Tyrod Taylor, Jacoby Brissett, some of these longtime journeyman backups that are signing with the, obviously, Fitzpatrick with the Washington football team, Tyrod Taylor with the Houston Texans, Jacoby Brissett with the Dolphins. What are your guys' thoughts about them? Do you think any of those teams have a value signing with one of those backups?
Well, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter.
Yeah.
He's a star wherever he goes, man.
He is. How old is that guy?
I don't know, but I really think he's going to end up being the Redskins starter, or sorry, the football team starter this year. So he's probably the best one for me.
But Tyrod Taylor is probably going to be week one quarterback for the Texans.
Yeah, if Deshaun goes, but I mean, according to the GM, they have no backup plan for the Texans.
Well, if he goes or if he holds out, you know, still Tyrod Taylor is going to be.
I don't know that he can hold out. under the new CBA without getting fined or something. I don't know the details of it, though. So basically, I'm going to bring up something, just admit that I really don't know the details of it, so I can't really say anything for sure. But
that's what I do all the time. I do that all the time.
But I do think under the new CBA, it makes it harder for guys to hold out, and it takes away the leverage. It's the thing that, to be honest, like when you were telling me about Danielle Hunter the other day, that I think is going to come down to Danielle Hunter too. If the Vikings want to keep Danielle Hunter, Danielle Hunter's options are really to either get fined for holding out and being in breach of the CBA, or retire, I guess, if you really wanted to go intense. But I don't know. But maybe, I mean, Deshaun Watson has some money, so maybe he'll be okay getting fined. I don't know.
Well, let's get a little personal. Let's talk about our teams. Obviously, I can't say anything because Seattle has yet to sign anyone. But Colton,
hey, they're going after Leonard Fournette. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. But Colton, so Minnesota Vikings, they re-sign Rashad Hill. They went and signed Steven Weatherly, Dalvin Thompson. Tomlinson, excuse me, and then Nick Vigil. What are your thoughts? Good moves, bad moves? Are you happy? Are you sad? What are your thoughts?
You know,
well, yeah,
it's been just kind of solid. Obviously, the Vikings defense needed a lot of work. Steven Weatherly was with the Vikings before he left to Carolina last year, so bringing him back at defensive end, you know, that's a good, smart upgrade for the Vikings. It takes a lot to learn Mike Zimmer's system, so he's already kind of got it down, and he can compete in there with everyone else, and hopefully Quiddy Pay as well. But Rashad Hill, he's, you know, a journeyman swing tackle. Hopefully he doesn't have to play very much for the Vikings. Dalvin Tomlinson, that definitely gives the Vikings, you know, possibly he can switch in at nose tackle with Michael Pierce, who's going to be back off of COVID this year. And, you know, maybe they're talking about potentially putting two big boys down there, having Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson. And we'll definitely be able to stop the run with that. So that's exciting. I expect him to be a big contributor, though, just because of the size of the contract they gave him. The Vikings are kind of headed in the right direction. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they've created some today. They're restructuring Adam Thielen's contract, you know, restructured Anthony Barr. They cut Shamar Stephen and saved about $4 million today towards the cap. And, you know, I expect them to kind of round out their roster, make some good moves, and set themselves up with cap space to be a bigger player in the second and third waves of free agency this year.
Well, we're going to get into it in our next segment when we start doing predictions, but be thinking about who you think that you would want the Vikings to sign, because we're going to talk about that a little later. David? Colton mentioned how with Dalvin Thompson, you were going to try to stop the run, which brings up the fact that the Packers re-signed their running back to a four-year contract, Aaron Jones. What are your thoughts about that? Good, bad, happy, sad?
I like the deal. I wouldn't have liked the deal in a lot of different situations, but with Aaron Rodgers going older, last little stretch for him. I don't think that this is the time to worry about whether Aaron Jones is going to live up to his contract. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that this is the time to say, oh, we don't pay running backs. Like, we got him on a fairly, I mean, like we already talked about in this podcast, Nelson Aguilar or Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is much more valuable and much better player than Nelson Aguilar. And Aaron Jones is making less money than him. He's a guy that hasn't been a workhorse his entire career. He doesn't have a ton of touches on his body. He has had some injury concerns earlier in his career. Last 2 years kind of have gone past those a little bit. And then he's also a pass catcher. So, you know, $12 million, I'm okay with it. And I was very happy to see the deal done.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wish I could say something about Seattle, but at least up to this moment, there's nothing that has happened.
They haven't traded Russell Wilson. Yeah, they haven't.
That's always a good thing. As long as they don't do that.
Personally, I just think it was crazy all the people thinking that Russell Wilson was actually going to get traded. Like, you don't just trade Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. It's probably why Deshaun Watson's the closest thing to, a superstar that I think might get traded. You know, I think it might be closer, though, towards the trade deadline in the middle of the season. But you can't just go out and trade Russell Wilson. I'm sorry, but you can't.
Yeah. And if you do, you better get something out of it that's worthwhile. But I agree with you. When those reports came out, I wasn't too worried. I was a little concerned, but not worried, if that makes sense. So, guys, so there's still a lot that could happen in free agency. Obviously, we're just at the we just experienced the first wave. What are your guys' predictions, or what do you guys think will happen with other players that are free agents around the league, or maybe possible trades, possible deals? What are your guys' predictions?
Well, my biggest prediction isn't, Colton cheated the system earlier. It's my turn to cheat the system. My biggest prediction is not really about where a player is going to go, but more about how a team is looked at. Right now, there's a lot of fans out there looking at the New Orleans Saints, and they're like, oh my gosh, the cap is fake. This team is amazing at doing all this stuff. This team is doing all this cool stuff. I think here in the next couple weeks, everyone is going to look at the Saints and they're going to think that the Saints are donkeys and that they're not making good moves. They're not making good decisions. I think it's going to kind of come to light a little bit. I don't know how many people out there really understand what some of the cap stuff is. So just one quick, here's the educational portion of the podcast. Converting money to signing bonuses does not erase the cap hit. It extends the cap hit over the life of the contract. So everyone was talking, oh my gosh, they converted this guy to signing bonus and then cut him. How smart are they? And the people are acting like they're never going to have to pay that cap hit. If it was that easy, every team would do that. They're going to now have to pay the next couple years for that guy that's no longer on their team that they wouldn't have had to. And so I think that's going to continue to go. I don't think people kind of understand that. I don't think people understand the incentives in deals. If it's an incentive, like if they had hit that threshold the year before, it actually counts as the incentives count as the cap already, even though they won't have to pay that. Like if it's like if it's an incentive for a guy to hit six sacks and the guy hit six sacks last year, that comes against the cap either way. It doesn't matter. If it's something that hasn't happened, then if it does end up happening, it goes against the cap next year. So like it, no matter what, you're paying the cap. It's just whether it's today or tomorrow. The Saints are acting like they're the New England Patriots right now with Bill Belichick that's 100 years old, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who has Tom Brady who's 45 years old. Saints, you are in a little bit of a rebuild here. Don't keep pushing stuff down the line. And so I don't know. I think people are going to look at this team and they're going to realize, oh, they've lost Emmanuel Sanders, Janoris Jenkins. I think they lost one other starter that I might be forgetting. They've already lost these few guys. They're still $5 million over the cap. Oh, and they lost Drew Brees, obviously. Next year, they're already at, if the cap stays the same, which I get it probably won't, before the draft, and the fact that they're still possibly going to make some moves here for agency, and before the draft, they're already $10 million under the cap next season. They have to re-sign Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, Teron Armstead, and Marcus Williams. And then if they decide to keep Jameis. This team is not in a good spot. They're going to have to do all five of those guys with $10 million. And so they're going to be losing some guys over the next couple years, and it's going to be because they were unwilling to basically do what the Patriots did last year. I mean, they could do what the Patriots are doing now next year if they had just kind of let some of these contracts die and maybe cut a couple guys. But instead, they're going to try and keep going, and I don't think it's going to end up looking good for them.
Colton, you got any predictions for maybe an outlook of a team of how maybe their 2021 season is going to go, or maybe something you think that may happen as far as movement with some players?
Yeah, I think that there's one division in the NFL that everyone seems to laugh at quite a bit and just talk about how they're not sure if they should have a playoff spot, and that is the NFC East. It seems like it's up for grabs, and the winner is like 8-8 every year of that division. And it truly comes down to the last couple weeks in that division every single year. I think this year is going to be a little different. I know Washington won the division last year, but I think they're really going to cement themselves as a contender in the NFC this next year. I like what they're doing. They've got a lot of room to grow, and they've actually got, you know, a pretty decent quarterback competition in Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke going on there. And I think Ron Rivera has really been changing the outlook of the Washington football team. You know, next year they might be getting a new name, and everyone's going to be excited about that. And I think it's going to, they're going to be not only the favorites, but in contention for one of the top two seeds in the NFC this next year.
I'm going to go ahead and just say Seattle's going to win the Super Bowl. yeah, so I'll stick with that. No. I think you know, it's kind of uneasy because I've never seen the Patriots do this, but I'll go ahead and say the Patriots will end up getting to the playoffs with the improvement that they have made so far this offseason. You know, David made some good points about Cam Newton. Not too for sure exactly how that's going to end up at the quarterback situation, but like Colton said earlier in the program or in the podcast, that, you know, they could very well go get a quarterback early in the draft. Doesn't necessarily mean that quarterback's going to take him to the next heights in 2021, but I like what they're doing, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So yeah, I like the Patriots. I think why don't we just level it up a little bit? They're going to win the AFC East next year. Is there a waterbed jingle? Is that what I hear?
Thomas.
I got to make sure that this prediction doesn't mess up with my other water bets. Oh, yeah. The Colts and Patriots.
Yeah, the Colts.
Well, guys, it's been a good show. Got to talk about a lot. David, do you have any social media information that you want to toss out there for our listeners before we end this thing?
Yep, you can follow us at Instagram at Ready to Football Pod.
Sweet, thanks, man. And Colton, are you still there? Do you think it's time to end this thing?
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.